This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The Tony Awards will be announced this Sunday, and my guest Jane Alexander is nominated for her role in the new show, Honor. Alexander left the stage and screen for 4 years to head the National Endowment for the Arts. She was nominated by President Clinton in 1993 and resigned from her position last October. She was the first artist to head the agency, and she ran it during its most turbulent period when there was a movement in Congress to eliminate the NEA. Honor is her first role since leaving the agency. She stars as a woman who finds out her husband is leaving her for a much younger woman. While Alexander directed the NEA, instead of practicing the art of acting, she had to spend all her time justifying the arts and the agency. I asked her if that was difficult.
Yes, it sure was, because if you're involved in the world of arts of any sort, you don't have to do any justifying. The thing is and exists for its own reason for being and also for the pleasure of others. And to try to sell it, to try to justify its reason for being to congressmen and, not congresswomen, by the way, congresswomen got it, but men over and over again, and to justify the need for the federal government to invest in the arts for the benefit of all society was odd for me. I couldn't believe that people didn't get it in their gut like I did on a daily basis.
You were the first artist to become head of the NEA. Why did you accept the position?
I accepted it because the NEA was responsible in great measure for my career. I began performing in nonprofit theaters that the NEA supported, things like Arena Stage, the Charles Playhouse in Boston, the Alliance Theater in Atlanta, and so on. And the Great White Hope, which really made my career and James Earl Jones' career, when it went to Broadway and then on to film, began at Arena Stage in Washington with an NEA grant. And the way that grant snowballed for so many of us involved in production and then in the film later is truly an NEA success story, and it happens over and over again with grants at the NEA. So I wanted to pay back, if you will, what the NEA had done for me and what it's done for thousands and thousands of artists.
You sailed through the confirmation hearings, but confirmation hearings are living hell for people who are controversial in any way or have, you know, what is perceived as a blot on their records. What was the experience of the confirmation hearings like for you?
It was exhilarating and exciting to be a part of it. At that time, Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts was the chairman of the committee in the Senate that overlooked the NEA and the NEH in confirmation hearings. And, of course, he's a very staunch supporter of the arts and the humanities. So it was not a difficult sell for him or anybody on that committee, including all the Republicans at that time. But to be unanimously confirmed by the entire Senate, that was a terrific support for not only myself, but I felt for the NEA, and that included people like Jesse Helms, of course.
Do you think that many of the people in Congress knew your work?
Not at all. Not only did they not know it, I was pretty astonished when a senator who became quite powerful during my time at the NEA, when I first paid a courtesy call on him, he said, "I hear you've done some acting." And I sort of blanched because I felt embarrassed not only for him but for his aide who was sitting there, who had obviously not prepped him very well. And I said, "Yes, Senator, I will send you my resume." And when I sent him my 5-page resume, he called me up and said, "I'm sorry. Now I understand who you are."
Good. Do you think that you got a different reaction as head of the NEA, as an actress, someone who's been an artist all your life, than someone who's been a lifelong administrator would have gotten?
I'd like to believe that. In some ways, though, I hesitate to think that it was a plus, because I found many legislators suspicious of artists. They felt that they were arrogant people, that they were out to subvert the best values of society, and I never knew whether they included me in that thinking as well. I would talk about the creative process. I would talk about the fact that controversy very often was a part of art and that it was not to be feared, that it was something that artists did, but they weren't out to do people in by it, but just to question society and its values and things like that. So in some ways, I thought maybe they thought I was a liability to the legislative process.
When you accepted the position as the head of the NEA, a lot of headlines in the newspaper said, her greatest role so far, Jane Alexander, heads National Endowment for the Arts. Did you ever feel like you were playing a role, dressing in character, you know, in the Washington, D.C. administrator's outfit, which I don't know. I don't know how you dressed when you were the head of the NEA, but people who had agencies tend to dress more conservatively, not call attention to themselves.
Yes, you're absolutely right. In that regard, I did dress the part of an agency head. And I also was aware that if I wore my slightly aged hippie clothes, I was going to cause some more consternation by the more conservative members that I was paying visits to on the Hill. So I dressed carefully and I dressed conservatively, and my skirts were not much more above the knee than an inch. Some people took me to task for that. Some artists said, why are you dressing this way? And I said, because I have a job to do and I don't want to scare these people. I don't want to come into their offices and they're scared by how I look.
So do you think it was effective wearing what you wore?
Well, I don't know the answer to that.
Right.
I don't know. But I do know that some of them are scared of artists. They don't know them. And as I say, if they feel that they're out to do them in one way or another, the politicians, then that wasn't a good thing. I was playing a political game when I was there. I was not there as I wasn't doing art when I was doing politics.
Is there anything you feel you were unprepared for that you had to face as head of the NEA?
I guess I was unprepared for the relentlessness of the attacks on the NEA and the misinformation that was spread and was rampant, and that we tried to countermand, but we were unable to do so with a small public relations department. At one time, we only had six people. I think there's only about eight of them now. So it was a very difficult task in educating the American people and the legislatures in particular about what the truth was, about what the NEA did for them in their own communities.
Give me an example of something that you felt was misinformation that you had to spend a lot of time trying to undo.
Well, one of the things that is consistently brought up about the NEA, and Newt Gingrich just brought it up again recently, he says things like the NEA funds pornography. We don't fund pornography, and we don't fund obscenity as defined by a court of law. We're not allowed to do that. The other thing is that the NEA gave grants to Robert Mapplethorpe, to Andre Serrano back in 1989, 1990, for the photographs that were so controversial at that time. The money from the NEA, the grants, were not individual artist grants to Mr. Mapplethorpe or to Mr. Serrano. In fact, they were to highly prestigious museums in Philadelphia, Cincinnati, and the Corcoran Gallery right across from the museum for exhibits, right across from the White House for exhibits that included these artists.
Newt Gingrich once said, while you were the head of the NEA, that celebrities who lobby for more federal arts spending should provide the money themselves instead of burdening taxpayers. What was your response to that?
Oh, that was an extremely elitist attitude on his part. First of all, celebrities, particularly in My business, which is theater, film, and television, are extremely generous people. They're giving all the time, not only to artists and fellow artists, and some of them have their own foundations. You know very well that Paul Newman and Robert Redford and many others have their own foundations and are giving to the arts or other causes. But they also give of their time generously. And it also would not help provide for what I started out to say, what the public sector does, which is opportunity and access for all people. That's why the public sector is there, to help all citizens. And it was an extremely elitist thing, I felt, and unfair to the celebrities as well.
My guest is actress Jane Alexander, the former head of the NEA. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Jane Alexander is my guest, and she's nominated for a Tony Award for her role in the Broadway show Honor. She's also, as you know, the former head of the National Endowment for the Arts. Why did you resign last fall?
I'd come to the end of a 4-year term, and I didn't want to sign on for another 4 years. I felt that what I had been able to accomplish in the 4 years was sufficient unto the day, which was to save the agency. And it came down to the wire. I mean, I did not know until the very end of September, the beginning of October, when the bill was voted on, whether the agency was going to survive. And I had made plans to leave, although I hadn't announced it publicly. And the president did know I was leaving, but I hadn't announced it publicly until after the bill was passed.
Is there legislation back in Congress now to eliminate funding for the NEA?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. The House and the GOP of the House, the leadership, wants to eliminate the NEA again. They won't be able to do it. The bill was passed last year with strong support from moderate Republicans. Wonderful people that I worked with quite closely, who felt that the leadership was wrong in their assessment of the agency and that the elimination of it was not well-founded.
I'm wondering if your tenure as head of the NEA is affecting the kind of roles you're being offered now. For example, when somebody is on a TV series for a long time and people get used to seeing them in a role, that sometimes affects the other roles that they're offered, you know, because people think that they're identified so much with one character. And in some ways, you became identified with the character of the head of the NEA, you know, an administrator who has to dress conservatively and speak with politicians. Do you think that that's going to affect your ability to be seen in the eyes of casting directors of somebody who's more flamboyant or devil-may-care or politically incorrect or whatever?
Well, the truth is, Terry, that I've never been offered those roles.
I guess that's true, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even though I may have wanted them when I was younger, for example, I was never an ingenue, you know?
And never the dominatrix.
That's right. Although I could probably play those roles, I'd like to believe that I have the technical skills to do it all. I very rarely get offered them. And As I say, as a young actress, I wasn't even offered the roles I wanted to experiment with. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to change, and I don't think the NEA particularly influenced that.
You're nominated for a Tony for your role in Honor, and I guess that's a nice welcome back for you into the theater world.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Do you like award ceremonies? Are you looking forward to it?
I like to be with my peers.
Mm-hmm.
I love the company of players, and they make me happy, and I'm happy that I'm part of that family. So that's why I like award ceremonies for my particular area, the theater.
Did you feel like you were still part of that family even when you were with the NEA and not actually working in the theater?
I did. I I didn't allow myself to feel homesick or very emotional during the 4 years that I was there. In fact, the job was so tough that I didn't have much time to think about anything else. But an interesting thing happened one day. The thing I liked most to do when I was at the agency and I had a spare half hour, which was rare, was run down and sit in on one of the panels. And we would convene, in the beginning, we'd convene as many as 100, 120 panels a year. So there were always a panel going. And I went down, it was maybe my second year, and I went and stopped in at a theater panel. And theater people are ebullient. They're lively, they're funny, they're affectionate. And I sat in and I listened for a while they were talking about the different applications. And then I got up and I left the room and I burst into tears. And I had no idea that I missed them so much.
Right, right. Well, I want to say congratulations on your Tony nomination.
And, well, thank you.
And I wish you good luck. And thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your wonderful show.
Jane Alexander directed the National Endowment for the Arts from 1993 to 1997. She's nominated for a Tony Award for her role in the new Broadway show Honor.